And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah!
See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death.
Oh. And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the house of pain. Back to the house of pain.
Welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes
meets Earth Destruction Directive,
Part 2! And we're back with this, folks, and yes, this time we're not here talking about movies like we were last time. We actually have a really cool Kickstarter project we wanted to bring to you guys, and we have the creator of the whole Kickstarter project with us, Mac McClintock. Mac, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Yeah,
very, very cool. You know, it's interesting because you see a lot of toy-related Kickstarters out there, a lot of them at the 1/18th, 4-inch scale. Those are very popular. But, Mac, Jay sent me this Kickstarter link, and he said, Luke, you got to see this. It's like there's a guy who's creating an original Daikaiju, and they're making a toy of it, a 30-centimeter vinyl toy. I said, you have got to be kidding me. I have got to check this out. So the Kickstarter we're talking about is called Titanicus, a 30-centimeter kaiju figure by Titanic Creations LLC. It's currently live as we are recording this, and hopefully as you are listening to this on Kickstarter. And it's a very cool monster we've got going on here. But first, I did want to ask, like, how did you get into Daikaiju and giant monsters in general?
Well, I think it goes back to, like, when I was right around 3 years old. Like, growing up, like, right around that age, I loved dinosaurs and all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, just one night on HBO or Showtime, one of those, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, the 1991 movie, came on. I watched that, and I was just obsessed from then on.
Yeah, and then I got, go ahead, yeah.
And then Then my dad was able to get me this, I think it was this 12-inch, I forget it was made by, it was this Godzilla 1992 figure, and I carried that thing around everywhere with me for like about 2 years.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm guessing, just from the times you described, I'm a little bit older than you because, you know what? Hey, you know, on this network, I'm one of the young guys, but, yeah. but let that sink in. But, I had a similar thing. You know, I was introduced to Godzilla when I was 4 years old, watching Godzilla King of the Monsters, Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, Rodan, and Monster Zero on a tape that our dad put together. So I understand it's something. And you know what? I run into a lot of fans, both, my age and guys older than me and guys younger than me that, you know, it's something that they got into when they were young, and it's stuck with them ever since. It's that kind of, I think, the fascination with the whole genre of Daikaiju and how it's put together and the monstrous characters and all that really sticks with people. So I'm glad to hear that there's some kind of logic to my theory, and it's not just the mad ramblings of one guy in South Carolina. So like I said, this is a very cool monster that you've created here for Titanicus. The subtitle of the the Kickstarter, I thought was really just intriguing, and it says, what if a kaiju was behind the sinking of the Titanic? So can you, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Kickstarter and kind of its origins and about Titanicus?
Well, so Titanicus, as in a kind of a creature, I've been festering ever since I went to G-Fest back in 2006, and there was this model, and it was this beautiful model. It had the Titanic, and it had Godzilla's fins shooting upright and implying that eventually Godzilla attacks the ship, right?
Mm-hmm. I've seen that model. Sorry, Mac, I'm a huge modeler. I know exactly the model you're talking about. Go on, sorry. Yeah, I got excited.
So I saw that model, and even me when I was like 9 years old, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me because Godzilla's in the Pacific Ocean and the Titanic happened in the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah. Right, and then...
Yeah, it's the things like that that we sometimes ask ourselves, and then we look back and it's like, well, you know, why did I worry about that?
another thing is like, because when you think about the Titanic, obviously people told people that they got sunk by an iceberg. So if you're going to have a monster attack, it had to be something that kind of had an iceberg look to it. Mm-hmm. And that's, so what really, the whole design process started with, if you look at Titanicus, there's the giant spike on his back,
mm-hmm.
which if, as he's swimming, it's supposed to look like an iceberg.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then I didn't really do anything with it, just kind of like one of those things you think about every now and again. And then then X Plus came out and started making all these amazing Godzilla model figures, kind of vinyl models.
Yes.
And I was like, I've collected a ton of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was around 2013, the guy who sculpted Titanicus, Dope Pope, started becoming really popular with his Z Godzilla series.
Right, mm-hmm. Yes.
And those, I absolutely loved his modeling and everything. And I was able to reach out to him this past summer, and we had concept art made by Amber Ansdale. She's out of California somewhere. I've never met her, but she did an awesome job with the concept art. And we were all sending that over to Dope Pope, and he created the 3D sculpt that ended up becoming the figure that was prototyped over in China.
Mm-hmm.
Just, well, it's amazing just how much collaboration has to go into producing a 30 centimeter figure. And so I got all the way to getting to the figure being made, and I'm like, and I realized, wow, this thing, sure, it kind of, if I know what the story is behind it, but everyone else needs to be able to know what it is. So then I wrote a short 8-page comic book that comes with the figure and is currently being illustrated by Brandon Purchase, who's over in the United Kingdom. He's done a lot of work on, I don't know if you've seen the artwork of The Thing.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of the illustrations in that. He's also worked a little bit on the Walking Dead series.
Yes. I said I've heard his name associated with Walking Dead.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's doing the illustration on the 8-page comic and then also the 24-page comic we'd produce also with the figure. That would be issue number one.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be kind of the origin story, I guess, of Titanicus? Or?
Well, the origin story is the 8-page comic that comes with the figure.
I got it.
And the point of that's supposed to introduce people to the character, mm-hmm. and also supposed to get us from 1912 to present day.
Right. Well, that's one of the things with giant monsters, you know, that since they're effectively immortal, you know, you can play with the timeline. And we've got here on the Kickstarter page, and we'll have the links mm-hmm. to the Kickstarter page in the show notes, both on the Earth Destruction Directive feed and on the Bots, Bugs, and Babes feed. They've got you've got a great picture here by Brendan of Titanicus, I guess, making landfall. Can't tell what city this is, but it's just amongst the flame and smoke and everything. It literally looks fantastic. The coloring is very nice. It's almost like a watercolor type, which is very kind of atypical for you know, a lot of giant monster art nowadays. You think more of you know, kind of the bright colors, like kind of like a Matt Zornow type of stuff. But I really like the coloring and the design here, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing these comics. They look really cool, and the idea of, I guess, of, you know, fleshing out the story as a, the concept is great, because like you say, that that idea of the Titanic, this unsinkable ship, being taken down by a Daikaiju, that's, I've seen, Jay, I know you've seen the model that, that Mac is talking about. I know I've seen pictures of it. I've seen fan art of that. So it's a great thing to take advantage of. And Titanicus himself, I mean, he looks really badass. Yeah. You know, this is the kind of thing that you've got him set up here in a diorama moving through a city. It's like, man, we could get this in, you know, some Suitmation, then we'd be in business. This looks fantastic, you know? He's just got a great, you know, the horns all over him, the large central spike, the really long tail. He looks like a monster that you could see coming out of Tsuburaya or Toho, you know, to come in into some kind of mashup with somebody.
Right. The other thing too is, I just want to throw this in there, is that he appears to definitely live in that world. He lives in he fits properly into the world of the Godzillas and the Rodans and the Ghidras, you know, and yet it's unique enough where you're like, okay, like, this makes sense. How come they've never had something like this or something like, you know, whatever kind of thing? So it's really great to bring in new ideas, because again, you know, ideas, we talk about this all the time, where inspiration comes from and stuff like that. So the idea of him having the spice that looked like an iceberg is great. I mean, Godzilla has fins on his back and stuff, but they don't appear to be icebergs. You know what I'm saying? Like, he cracks out of the iceberg, right? And
King Kong.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, kind of thing. So, you know, it's great. It's one of those things, I think, visually, you know, if you think about it in the idea of, like, you know, on the screen, you know, just simply, I mean, even if, you know, even if you didn't know it was a Titanic, you know, you didn't have to even say the word Titanic. You don't have to, everyone had to say it's a Titanic. People will know. And it's like, what is that, an iceberg? And you hit it and it's going to, you know, get that idea right there. You know, if you think of it, you know, from like, you know, when you put together a movie or story, that's a great catch. And then it leads to the title. I mean, you'd have everybody hooked immediately. And, you know, because like I was saying to you before, your dad had had commented on this on Twitter. And I said, oh my God, I got to check this out. And that's when I sent it to Luke. When I saw the idea of it sinking the Titanic, I'm like, oh my God. Like, it just, it's one of those, it's like, remember the movie Speed? I know Luke remembers the movie Speed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The bus
goes over this and it can't go below that. You're like, what a great idea. And no one had that idea before. See what I'm saying? Right?
The one I always kick myself with, and this is a little bit of a comic thing, when Jeff Johns comes out and said, oh yeah, there's all these different colored lantern cores and they all work on different emotions and red is anger. And you're like, God damn it. Why didn't I think of that? Son of a. You know.
So anyway,
one other thing I want to, one of the other rewards here in the Kickstarter that's really, really cool actually is the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. With this really great piece of art. Now, who did the art for the t-shirt?
I actually don't have his name. It was a really confusing username. He's located in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
He did. I think his name was Jason. Yeah, it was Jason and a bunch of numbers afterwards. And I found him on Freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it done in about 2 days, and it turned out fantastic. Yeah.
Dude, right there, that's marketing 101, killer shirt. You look at that shirt, and it from across the room, you know exactly what you're looking at, right? You don't need it tells you a story without being cluttered. It's, you know, it's simple enough to give you the full story, but yet there's enough going on where your eye is drawn to it. I mean, can you ask for more out of ooh, you know, kind of thing. It catches your attention, even if you don't like giant monsters. I mean, I'll be honest, those people need help. But, you know, like, it draws your eye in, and that's important. It looks great.
So. Yeah, that, I mean, honestly, I'll be completely frank. A lot of times you get these Kickstarters, and you get kind of deep into the reward levels, and like, oh, it's a t-shirt. And a lot of times to me, it's like, do I really need another black t-shirt, you know? Mm-hmm.
Black t-shirt, someone's logo, and like a Kickstarter logo on it.
Right. It's like, you know, I mean, it's cool when it was Mystery Science Theater 3000, but it's like, you know, for a lot of this stuff, do I really need that t-shirt? This one, I look at and I say, man, I can wear that to Gen Con. I can wear that to Heroes Con. I can wear that to any, you know, G-Fest, anything like that, and that's going to be something that people are going to say, hey, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring that up, because that is really neat. And what I like also is that, like you say, it's a different artist, so it's a different take on him. It's a slightly more cartoonish, but that's not the right word. Yeah. It's more like more comic book style than the comic. The comic has a more, like I said, more painted style. So it's a very kind of traditional four color image here.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Well, it's like you were saying, Luke, the image of him with the fire and stuff has that watercolor feel to it. That very different feel, and this feels much more like you would get from a comic book, kind of thing. I'm thinking, kind of in the Herb Trimpe and those guys, back in the day, kind of stuff. It has a different feel, which is good, and I think that's important too, because what have we learned about Godzilla for all these years, right? Every Godzilla is different, right? But everyone has their favorite, and some people like, the Burning G, and some people like GMK, and some people like whatever, but each one of them is Godzilla in their own way. And it shows that this doesn't have to be, you have the actual physical 30 centimeter, and we're saying 30 centimeters. Some people might not realize that's like 11 and a half inches. Yeah. Almost a foot. Right. And he's pretty long too. He's
70 centimeters.
70 centimeters.
So he's about 2 feet long.
There is no X plus, right? That's the I was gonna say Sideshow, but Sideshow doesn't make these things. There's no X plus figure that's gonna be like, who's this guy? He's gonna be on the shelf holding his own. That's what that says to me. As somebody who has a number of the X plus pieces, the GMK and the Sanda and Gaia and those things like that, you won't lose this guy on the shelf. You know what I'm saying? Like when he's up there. So, but it's just nice to see a different. Because you see the way he looks in the physical model, the way he looks in the comic book art, and the way he looks in the shirt. And I think what it gives people is that, that there's a clear vision of what he is as a monster or a creature. But also the artist that's doing it has hit their interpretation of what's there, and it leaves it. So it's not, it's kind of like if there's only one movie of something ever, and there's never any other version of it ever, it's that one thing. But when things can be different and evolved, it lets people come at it sometime from a different place. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's very cool. It's very, very cool stuff.
Now, one other thing here, Mac, further on down in the campaign page, you say that you guys have plans to create many more and have a second monster ready in the design queue, and then an ongoing series with the monsters. Anything you want to tease us about stuff that might be coming on down the pike?
So, we have currently, within the next month, there should be two other prototypes for Titanicus, that monster. That should be ready for pre-orders, basically. And then we have, there's Nosferdon, which if you go look at our Facebook page, we have the concept art on there. And then there's the Griffin monster. Both those are just about being done sculpted. And we'll probably have those, like, you'll be able to see the prototypes of the figures for those probably around June. And what we're going to do with all these figures is every figure is going to come with the 8-page comic book as an origin story. And then the on-running series, all these monsters are going to kind of converge into one simultaneous storyline. And then we also have plans after we produce right around 4 or 8 monsters. We also are working on creating a board game. And really feel that's an underserved market as far as kaiju go. Because, I think it's Attack Tokyo is about the only, like, really mainstream one you'll find out.
King of Tokyo. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Any beautiful miniature game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only minis game that I could think of for Daikaiju is Monsterpocalypse, which is, I'm pretty sure at this point, is not really supported anymore. That was
completely out of print now.
Yeah. And that one, the miniatures were nice in it, but they were all pre-painted. Mm-hmm. I've dabbled in Games Workshop. I know about painting minis. I've got about 3,000 points of dwarves that have been sitting, waiting to fight somebody for a couple of years upstairs. But I think you're right. And you know what? It's interesting because I said earlier that you see a lot of Kickstarters for toys and action figures, but really Kickstarter is like this amazing platform for board games. So I think you're definitely on the right track with that. And you know, there are a few besides King, like I said, King of Tokyo is kind of the really well known one. There's a few other kaiju based board games. At least one of them has come through Kickstarter. But not, you say none of them are miniatures games, and I think you're right on, because that's such a natural thing for a giant monster fan to want, you know, representation of their monster, right? You know, that was the whole point, that back when Daikaiju became a genre, that Toho had this idea that, hey, if we give a monster permanence and personality, that's something that we can market and people will want to see the monster. And so I think that sounds really cool. I am definitely going to be logging into Facebook and checking out the Griffin, because I am a huge Griffin fanboy. So you have my interest completely peaked right now.
I'm going to be honest with you, Mac. As soon as you said Griffin, I like started giggling, because I'm like, oh, you just said the key word for him. Because if you haven't gathered, I mean, Luke is talking about obviously Games Workshop stuff, him playing Warhammer. I'm a modeler. I build. But the one thing we've done since, what, 92, right, Luke? I mean, play Magic the Gathering and, you know, kind of thing. And Griffins are a staple of my brothers. As much as I will take anything that's red or black and that's evil and demonic and whatever, there's a griffin coming at me somehow, and I better have something to kill a flying, because it's going to happen. Or he'll have a fleet of them. That's the worst part of it. It's like, how many griffins do you have? Oh, you'll see, you know, kind of thing. So, I think, what I always loved, and I was just reading on the Kickstarter page a little bit, you know, before we spoke, that you had other ideas going on. And your dad actually had said, oh, yeah, he's got a bunch of other ideas, and you think about a game. And I'm like, man, how many times do you see people go into Kickstarter and they're like, they got like the beginning of an idea, and they're like, we got to get ahead of this. And clearly you put a lot of a thought into all this stuff. You've thought of where this can go and how this can grow. Instead of just being like, okay, we're going to get this hopefully done. It's like, look, I have a plan. I know what I want to do. I have ideas for other things. It's not just like, oh, now I need to make another one. Like, you know, by doing that, you've created already your own mini universe that's, again, you know, can grow and expand. But it's not as hard then for you, like, okay, how do I shoehorn someone into this? Like, those guys already fit because they're all part of what you created. So that's great stuff right there. I will say this, though. The idea of a miniature game with the models, I'm assuming they must be smaller than 30 centimeters. Would you agree?
I quite the board game. That
I'm saying is, that would be one heck of a board game. Like, I played some board games.
It'd be like Weta, you know, they don't make miniatures, they make bigatures.
Yes.
You know?
I'm just saying, I mean, at 30 centimeters, this might be hard. I mean, this might not be able to fit in the back room of some, you know, comic book shop. This is going to have to be in the main draw. I'm joking. I mean, obviously, I know you mean miniatures. But even then, if you think about it, even things, you know, companies like Reaper and stuff like that, who make miniatures in either metal, or they make them in the Reapers, or that's the soft, you know, the bones lines and stuff like that. None of them have Kaiju. I'm trying to think, except for maybe one piece in the entire Reaper line. Anything that's, you know, like would be a dragon. So this is unique in that alone, you know? So, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, as cool as, and I mean, I already backed the project, and Luke backed the project. We're definitely in on this thing. As cool as, you know, the 30 centimeter guy looks, if I get to paint my own, that's like, that makes it even better to me. I love painting, you know, creatures and monsters and, you know, jazzing them up, you know, kind of thing. So very, very cool.
I've heard a lot of people say they want like an unpainted version. It's just really hard to get the Chinese manufacturer we're working with to kind of cooperate, because right now we're only going to produce 1,000 of these. And that's a minimum order for them. So they want you to fit into their specific parameters and everything. It's just.
Oh, right. No, yeah. No, I definitely hear that. Definitely hear that. I'm saying is, but in the idea of when you get to the minis game, you know, kind of thing, and that idea.
I would assume we'd leave those unpainted.
Yeah. Because you know what, though? I mean, because as much as the guys who do minis, and there are guys who do minis that, you know, blow me away what they can do with the mini. The idea of doing Daikaiju creatures is such a rare thing in the miniature world. It's going to hit, you know, I mean, that's something people are like, oh, it's because it's not just another dragon. It's not just another dragon. You know what I'm saying? It's something different. And I think that's really, you know, it's great, dude. It's that's you know, thinking ahead, not just I got this small idea that, well, maybe it'll work. It's like I got an idea and I know how to grow this and I know where I want to go with things. It's that to me is stuff I love to hear when we're trying to, you know, expand the world of monsters. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So.
So, all right. So, I guess, Mac, just let me open the floor to you. Is there anything you want to ask us or you want to, you know, put out there for the listeners as far as Titanicus or anything else you got going on?
Just that, like, right now the Kickstarter is at $20,000 with about 12 days to go. And I know a lot of people are disconcerned about backing something that they are worried would not get funded. And just that, it's not really, if you back in, it doesn't get funded, it's not a risk to you because you don't have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that everyone is clear. If you haven't had any experience on Kickstarter, you are completely safe as a backer. If it doesn't get funded, we're not going to take your money and then you're not going to get anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd be surprised the number of people that still believe that.
Yeah.
That, I mean, Kickstarter's been around for quite a while at this point. I want to say I've been using Kickstarter for at least as long as Rift Tracks has been doing them, and that was
right.
What 2015 or so. I don't know. It just seems like I you know, you're with this is complete shoot. I'm not making this up. You were the second person today, the second person running a Kickstarter that has said pretty much that exact same thing. That, you know, people still don't understand that if you back and it doesn't go, you're not gonna, you know, you're not out the money. We're not gonna, you know, run off cackling into the night with your money. But yeah, so like I said, folks, take a look at the show notes. The name of the Kickstarter is Titanicus, a 30-centimeter kaiju figure. The links are going to be in the show notes. I'm also going to post the links on the Facebook page, and I'll put it up on the Twitter for those who follow me on that. And please go check this out, because this is a really, really cool-looking product, a very cool monster. And I'd really like to see this get going, because I think this is the ground floor of something that looks really, really cool. And frankly, just, you know, I'm backing this. I don't mind saying that. I'm not actually associated with the project in any way other than being a backer.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and I, when Same we thing. Were just so excited about this that we wanted to reach out and you know, get the campaign some attention, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I really do appreciate that.
Hey, you know, I'm always willing to back something that's creative and something that I'll enjoy, you know. It's if you look at my history on Kickstarter, it's all things. It's like, yep, I can see Luke back in that. So mm-hmm. and this very much falls in line with that. So I'm,
yeah. And the key thing is too, and this is one of the thing, you know, as somebody who's, I mean, I've backed, not, you know, like we said, we backed numbers of Kickstarters, not just Rift Tracks and Misty and things like that, but I have friends who started out with I'm not kidding. It was a couple of, you know, texts back and forth. Do you think this might work? I'm not sure. How do you think? And it started small. And then all of a sudden now we have my buddy's on like his fourth or fifth different one. And he's had a game that's been growing and growing. Right. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
it's one of those things. We, again, Luke and I have no, you know, we're not part of your LLC. We're not part of your company. We're just two fans saying, wow, this needs to happen. People need to hear about this, because I'll be honest with you, there's plenty of times like you get busy with life, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, something will come on to Kickstarter. And if you're not, you know, checking Kickstarter and no one, you know, kind of tells you about something, you might miss something really cool, you know?
And, yeah, I've had that happen numerous times, just looking at the website. And you're like, wow, I wish I could have backed that. And then a lot of these projects, you can't get them after the Kickstarter at all.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, some things they're like, oh, yeah, we can do whatever. But, you know, sometimes you're like, that's a really cool thing. I would love to have had that. Oh man, I can't get in on it. And it's one of those things that I would hate to see people, you know, not know about it. So as much as, you know, I mean, obviously they're the fans of Earth Destruction Directive and the Two True and Bots, Bugs and Babes and everyone on the Two True Freaks network. We're going to put it out there. We'll both tweet it out. We'll both put it on all our respective pages. We'll put it on in the show notes and stuff like that, because I think people need to, see this. I mean, this is something that, you know, I think a lot of people might not have seen yet, and we still have time to get this going. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, getting more giant monsters. My daughter, I showed her the picture. She's like, Daddy, that's so cool. And, you know, so the 7-year-old thinks it's cool, but I mean, this is a child who knows her monster. She's like, that's really cool. And I was like, yeah, well, Daddy's going to talk to her. that's cool. Like, that's what we need people doing. Maybe have that, like, you know, that's cool. Let me go in there and do it. And even if, you know, some of you are saying, wow, 30 centimeters. Check it out, guys. There's all kinds of stuff on there. I mean, even the comic books and stuff like that. I know some guys are big comic book guys. This is a comic book that, let's be honest, you've never seen it before. It's, you know, kind of thing. It'd be great. So, you know, and thank you very much for coming on. I know you're busy, you know, the hectic, you know, this that life gets to, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, we really want to make sure that people, you know, can see this and appreciate what we already just, you know, kind of came up the other day. And I said, and this is quick, you know, it was one tweet. I saw something, I shared it to my brother. Within minutes, we were talking about, like, okay, let's find out who the guy who runs this thing is. Let's get him on here, you know, kind of thing. So that's a little behind the scenes, folks. Sorry. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, like I said, guys, go, Mac, unless I'll see you got anything else you want
to. No, I ain't got anything else to say.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, you know, this podcasting thing, we went to school for this. You know, yeah. The Segway school alone just, you know, costs so much. I can't lie. But all right. So again, Mac, thank you very much for taking a little bit of time to talk to Jay and I tonight. Everybody out there, please go check out the Kickstarter for Titanicus, a 30 centimeter kaiju figure. And they said the links will be in the show notes. And Mac, thank you once again. And until next time, keep them stomping
and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc., are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no-